A few weeks ago, I had a baptism of a family that I've known for quite a while, and the uncle of the child being baptized was there along with others. His name is Fenton, and it was great to see this guy. He's now a young man who is in Christ in the city, doing that great apostolic work that they do of going out to befriend the homeless, to evangelize, and it was great to see him. But I've known him his entire life, and I have other memories of like other sides of Fenton as well. One of them was way back when he was just a toddler. And this was, I think it was either Christmas or it was a first communion, and afterwards the family was celebrating together. And there was Fenton, this little toddler, this baby, who in the midst of all this joy is just sobbing, sitting on his sister's lap, just inconsolable, just, you know, disaster has fallen upon him. It was probably some toy that somebody took away or a plaything that got broken, but whatever else is going on, his world was just miserable. And it struck me so much of just this image of here's little Fenton, and he's sitting on his sister's lap, and everybody's rejoicing, and he just doesn't realize, can't even comprehend the joy that was really all around him. Now, of course, the family, they had great care and love for him, but at the same time, their joy would not be conquered by his tears. C.S. Lewis says that joy is the serious business of heaven. There is a real and eternal joy. The joy, first of all, of God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that overflowing then into saints and angels, this joy of heaven. And yes, they have a genuine care and love for us and a regard for our struggles and sufferings. But their joy abides. Their praise goes on. For us, how do we tap into that enduring joy of heaven? Because it is offered to us. It is something that we can have a taste of, at least a taste, even if the fullness of that joy still awaits. The entrance antiphon for the Sunday, Gaudete in Domino Semper, rejoice in the Lord always. Or as I translated, hey y'all, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, it's this command. It comes from the Philippians, the letter to the Philippians of St. Paul. And it's used to kind of introduce this Sunday of Gaudete, of Rejoicing Sunday. If the first two Sundays of Advent are really focused on hope, that is a good that has not yet arrived, that kind of focusing on the second coming of the Lord in the end, now this Sunday we have a shift towards joy, which is the happiness of finally possessing the good. The good has arrived and I have it. Joy is a movement of the heart when we have something good. Having that good thing, joy emerges. But of course, that joy depends on what is that good that kind of launches that joy, that inspires that joy. And I think that might be an area where there could be two big challenges to our joy. The first might be that if I don't realize I have a good thing, I don't recognize the good thing that I've been given, I'm not going to experience joy. I may have an incredible treasure buried in my front yard, but if I know nothing of it, there's no joy in that. And so it's recognizing the good that I have that then inspires this joy. The second is that the good that my joy is inspired by, well, it might be limited some way. It could be something temporary. You know, why are we still celebrating Super Bowl 50? You know, it was a great victory. You know, why are the parades all done? You know, it's, oh, well, that season is, you know, way in the rearview mirror. You know, and the Packers last Super Bowl even further back than that, right? So it's a passing temporary good. So the joy is passing and temporary. A good might be vulnerable to being lost. You know, there's a great joy in friendship, but I can lose that friendship. Or maybe that friend moves away or that friend even dies. And then that joy, you know, goes along with. Or maybe the good I have is a mixed good, or maybe not even a true good in the end. It could be like, okay, I just got this job promotion. That causes great joy, that this new job, I'm so happy to have this. But then realizing, well, now, you know, I've really got to deliver even more, or I risk losing that job, or maybe that job incurs such great costs in my life that maybe that original joy is more of chagrin later on when I realize maybe this good wasn't so good after all. Now, I'm not saying that there can't be joy in all those different kinds of things, and certainly that can be fitting. But how do we tap into that enduring joy, the joy that will not fail us, that enduring joy of heaven? I think that first category of challenge might exist for us at times, which is that I do not realize, I do not recognize the great good that I am receiving in Jesus Christ. Just like in the gospel, they didn't recognize the one who is in their midst. It might be that I just don't recognize the incredible good that God has actually given me. And it might be because, well, the good news really has no significance in my life. I really haven't grasped it. Or maybe I'm just so fixated on lesser goods that I'm just not open to this great and enduring work that God is doing for me. Or maybe I'm just doing the religion thing as kind of an eternal fire insurance policy. You know, just like, well, I don't want to go to hell, so I better keep showing up. Now, I mean, that's not totally wrong, but pretty impoverished, right? You know, and that certainly isn't the kind of approach or awareness that elicits a whole lot of joy, right? Or maybe it's that I let the sorrows of my present life, which, yes, can be very real, very painful, though, of course, all of them are necessarily limited and temporary, I let those kinds of sorrows be the ultimate voice of my existence. You know, or maybe the fear of those sorrows or potential sorrows dominates my attention and my cares, so that the great good that I've been given by the Lord, it's just, I'm not paying attention because I'm so fixated on these sorrows or the burden of suffering. Note that in our second reading from St. Paul, you know, that he urges the Thessalonians to rejoice, just like he had to urge the Philippians to rejoice as well. And so this deeper, abiding, eternal rejoicing isn't just like an automatic thing, like, you know, I got a chocolate chip cookie, you know, rejoice away. It's a deeper, more complicated rejoicing, because I think there's a certain work of faith that we have to undergo of letting the good news of Jesus Christ really sink into my life. To really let that good news be a light that shines on my thoughts, on my vision of reality, of what I value, of what my struggles are like and how I define them. It's a real work of faith to let that light of the good news of Christ into all those dimensions. So then, knowing that goodness, I can really taste the joy of Christ. So St. Paul tells them, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And so I think he highlights two actions that we can do as part of this work of faith, that we can really taste and experience that abiding, that eternal, that heavenly joy of Christ. The first one, he said, was pray without ceasing, and the other was give thanks. So pray without ceasing. I think an important part of prayer is it's an act of faith, and letting prayer feed this gift of faith I've received so I can see truly both beyond myself and within myself, and I can set my heart on the things that are above that truly matter, even in the busyness of life and the different things that are calling for my attention. How important to have that stance of prayer in my life, to turn back to God, to let myself be fed by the good things of God in my prayer, to ponder the promises that God has made to me in so many different ways. You know, just take the rosary, for example. How good it is to really meditate on each of those mysteries that we pray in the decade. You know, to really enter into this incredible moment of the Annunciation, of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and God's plan unfolding and her great yes, and to let my heart be brought into that, to taste these good things and to let the joy of them emerge. It could also be, of course, reading and praying with Scripture, being addressed by God through His Word and receiving, you know, His goodness, His light, His truth in that. I think in the end, prayer is ultimately about fostering that real, living, personal relationship with the Lord. That in prayer, it's not a technique or I need to do my prayers like I do my stretches or something like that. It's prayer is this communion with God. And in this union with God, I have God in a certain way. This goodness there is with me, and that joy emerges. And then the other thing that St. Paul says, to cultivate this work of faith and to bring about this joy, he says, in all circumstances, give thanks. Both of these are kind of continuous realities. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks. They really are kind of dispositions, ways of being that God is calling us to. Not just, okay, I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to just go back to being an over-preoccupied worldling the rest of the time. Okay, the rosary doesn't do much for me. No, it's like this. It's a way of being. And so in all circumstances, give thanks. I think gratitude is a vital, vital practice, an important attitude for us to have. To reckon the good things that are really present. And yes, we can reckon the good things of material blessings, things like that, but much more deeply those profound spiritual goods that Christ has accomplished for us, that He has given us. Faith itself is a gift from God. Have you ever thanked Jesus for the gift of faith, that you've been given that? To know Him in this deep way? Have you ever thanked the Lord for your vocation, that He has called you to a path of holiness? And maybe sometimes I do hear confessions, you know, maybe I might have to duck a swing if I say that to some people, but the reality of, like, God has laid out this path for me to grow in holiness, to enter into a deeper relationship with Him and to be fruitful in His kingdom. Have you ever thanked God for His great mercy and His great desire to forgive us when we have strayed from Him or worked against His will? What about simply the resurrection? You know, that indeed our Lord has come and has entered into all of our poverty, our sin, our death, and has conquered those things and wants to share that reality, that eternal reality with us, that the story of our life, of our love, doesn't end in the tomb, but in resurrection. Have you ever thanked the Lord for that? Or that we have been brought together by the power of the Spirit as the body of Christ, the church, and in that this ability to worship God in Jesus Christ and to celebrate these sacraments that He's given us. Really, there's so many great and deep and eternal spiritual goods that Jesus has given to us. And well, certainly in all circumstances, we can give thanks. I know sometimes things can be really hard in life. There can be great suffering. But even in those, I think we can even give thanks that Jesus, yes, our risen Lord, but still with His wounds, He draws close to be with us. Pope Francis speaks about this, and I just want to share a quote from him. He says, "I realize, of course, that joy is not expressed the same way at all times in life, especially at moments of great difficulty. Joy adapts and changes, but it always endures, even as a flicker of light born of our personal certainty," you know, that faith, born of our personal certainty that when everything is said and done, we are infinitely loved. I understand the grief of people who have to endure great suffering, yet slowly but surely, we all have to let the joy of faith slowly revive as a quiet yet firm trust, even amid the greatest distress. This Gaudete Sunday, this rejoicing Sunday, is meant to be a foretaste of the Christmas joy that is soon coming. Just like this life is meant to be a foretaste and to give us a foretaste of that eternal joy that has been prepared for us. Joy is the serious business of heaven, C.S. Lewis tells us. It's also the serious business of Christmas. And so I encourage you to open yourselves with that thanksgiving, with that prayer without ceasing, recognizing the one who is in the midst of your life, Jesus, and all the good that he brings, that Christmas is Christmas not simply because it's beautiful and poignant to have a child in a manger, but because of all the good he is accomplishing for us. Maybe one really practical thing you could do to enter into that joy more is go to scriptures. Go to the Gospel of Luke, just the first two chapters. Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. A beautiful recounting of all of these wonders of Christ's coming, of the Annunciation to Mary, her visiting Elizabeth and rejoicing like we had for our psalm today, his own nativity, the wonder of the shepherds, you know, and then presenting Jesus in the temple, and all these beautiful things are all right there in just two little chapters of the Gospel of Luke. Turn to those, be fed by those, that in knowing the great good that is there for us, you will also know its joy. So let us start to anticipate that joy on this Gaudete Sunday, consciously turning our hearts and minds to the great gift of Jesus Christ, given to us by a Father who loves us infinitely, who wants us to be with him forever and with his eternal joy.